Oh my goodness, I'm out of breath, but not out of God. Oh my goodness, here it is. What is it? It's March, April. It's March, yes, March. It's just sailing by. I love these themes that Sandy picks, you know, say yes to God and oh, all these wonderful themes that we've had through all the years, through all the months, and they just kind of flow together. And this month, we're focusing on Jesus. Let's try that again. This month, we're focusing on Jesus, the only one that can. He's the only one that can. Oh, my goodness. It's wonderful. Let's turn right in our Bibles to Hebrews 12. We're going to start in Hebrews 12. Mike knows Hebrews. I'm picking on you today. He knows Hebrews 11 by heart. You know, we were raised together in the faith movement back in the 70s, you know. Word of faith. Oh, what a wonderful foundation. And in verse 12 there, or chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore. So that word therefore joins 11 and 12 together. What's it there for? All right. To join 11 and 12 together. And chapter 11 is about these people of faith, these incredible people of faith, the heroes of faith, we call them. You know, a wonderful company of heroes and martyrs. You know, there was Moses, and there was Abraham, and there was Sarah, and there was all these wonderful people of faith. Many of them, like I said, martyred, so I don't have to be. I hope, you know. So there's all these people that went before us, men and women who walked by faith, men and women who lived by faith, men and women who fought the good fight of faith. I'm telling you, how many are contending for love and faith? Oh, it seems like we're contending more and more and more for love and faith. And, you know, like I said, I have one message. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And you know, people get mad at me about that message. I don't get it. But I only got one message. He loves you. He loves you. It's consistent. God's not schizophrenic. You know what I mean? He's not, I love you. I didn't love you not. I love you. I love you not. No, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. That's my message. I'm sticking to it. I'm sticking to it. But I have to contend for it. I have to contend for love. If there is anything I want to contend for, it's love. Love and faith. Love and faith. Therefore, we're surrounded. I want to do surrounded this morning. But how many fight my battles? This is how we fight our battles. We're surrounded by a great company of witnesses, okay? A great company of witnesses. Here they all are. Moses, you know, Sarah, like I said, Gideon, Baruch, Samson, Jephthah, all these wonderful people of faith, Doug, you know, all these wonderful people of faith that have helped us through the years. This is not a lone fight. It's a group battle, I'm telling you. You know, we're formed together this morning, and there's a lot of things going against us to say, this is obsolete. We don't need this. This doesn't meet our needs. But it does. It meets me right where I'm at because their story becomes our story, just like my story becomes your story. And your story becomes the community's story, and the community's story becomes the story, okay? The story of faith, that people who contended for love and faith throughout history. It's a historical account of the church and what the church like. It says, therefore, we are also, since we were surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. This is our story, folks. I'm not ashamed of our story. Yeah, have we made mistakes? Have we looked dumb? Have we been inconsistent? Have we been hypocritical? Yes, but it's still our story. It's still our story. And it says right there, a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us. Okay, so we have discouragement and all this stuff that comes against us, especially in this hour, you know, the sign of the times, this time when, you know, we're in great tribulation and trouble and all this stuff's going on, but we're still surrounded. He's got us surrounded by a great cloud, a company of angels. How many believe in angels? Ooh, I believe in angels. Oh my gosh. This sets me apart, folks. I believe this stuff. I'm a believer. I believe. But everything comes against me to stop believing. Have you experienced that lately? Everything comes against me. It says, let's run with endurance or deliberate purpose. I have deliberate purpose that I'm going to love, okay, like never before. I'm going to love to the end, folks. That's my story. And you're going to help me. You're going to help me run this race. See, we're running together. It's you know, it's cross country. You know how cross country, you run together? I was terrible at the hurdles and, you know, the 50-yard dash. But I could run together with a group that was fixed on a purpose. Endurance. And how do we run? Looking unto Jesus. See, it's a focus. We can't lose our focus. And everything right now is trying to lose our focus. And we're heading this direction. I'm heading this way. I'm going this way. I'm going to be a lover of mankind. I'm going to be a lover of God. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to have more hope, more joy, more peace. I'm focused. And then I turn on the media. You know, and I'm heading this, and then all of a sudden, my focus is shifted. And all of a sudden, I'm going over here. You know, I'm moving over here, and I'm believing this report, and I'm confused, and, you know, I'm getting discouraged. See, it's about focus, looking onto Jesus. What? The author and the finisher. He wrote the book. In the volume of the book, it's written of him. He's out throughout the whole book. You know, my story wasn't going so great. The book I was writing about myself, okay, it was full of fear. I can remember the first time I was afraid. The first time I experienced fear, and if I can remember it correctly, I'll tell you about it, okay? Fear. It was this hallway when I was a kid, and it was dark, and I had to get down this hallway. And I had to get down this hallway. My parents were in the other room. And I was afraid. And I couldn't get down the hallway. That's the first thing I remember as a kid. Fear. How many remember fear when it came into your life? Fear is not your friend, folks. Fear is not your friend. Faith is your friend. Faith is your friend. And I need to hear a message of faith every week to come against the fear. Because they're trying to get you off focus with fear. See, the fear is the tool. Man, they'll sell you a vacuum cleaner with fear. You know how many little mites and things are in your carpet? Tiny, microscopic things. And this is the only carpet cleaner that'll get them mites out of there. Because they're out to kill you. What about your mattress? Need I go to your mattress? I mean, oh my goodness. Coffee. Oh my goodness. Doug and I are convinced coffee is a health drink. Amen. Amen. Can I hear the amen? Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Oh, we're running. We're running with endurance, with deliberate purpose. And the people in this room help me with that deliberate purpose. They keep me on track. I need a group to keep me on track. I really do. I can get off track. My story was really getting off track. You know, fear, hate, anger, frustration, addiction. Addiction's part of my story. You know, it wasn't the last chapter, thank God. But the last chapter of the book wasn't looking good until I found a new author, a new finisher, one that comes alongside to help me, a Holy Spirit of love and joy. See, I was trying to do it on my own. You know, I wore my Woodstock t-shirt this morning. I mean, I was part of that, folks. Dave, were you at Woodstock? We were all at Woodstock, folks. Okay? We're all looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, we're all there. Bobby was there. Jimmy was there. Joni was there. Ooh. Oh, I got stoned and I missed it. Yeah. Hey, did you hear about Woodstock last week? Darn, I missed it. But I got the t-shirt. Oh my gosh. I'm telling you. Love, joy. See, that's God's book. That's Jesus' book. The chapters in Jesus' book are love, joy, peace, freedom. See, I was looking for freedom, folks. I was shouting freedom and I was bound. I was bound by sin and alcohol and drugs. Oh my gosh, I was so bound. There was no freedom. It was a false freedom. It was a false love. It was a counterfeit. And now he wrote the real thing. He wrote the real thing. You know, I talk to people all the time back in, I forget what year it was. I ran this Mercy Seat mission for 7 years on West 25th Street, okay? Right by the zoo. It seemed like the zoo emptied out into the Mercy Seat mission. And and I'm telling you, it changed my life only because the only way I could do it was with Jesus. Power of the Holy Spirit. The only way I could love those people, those unlovely people, all right, of all colors and creeds and genders and nationalities and all that, was with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of love. It's something I was always looking for. But it was a chapter in my life that God came alongside and helped me see value of people, you know, of people. Oh, it was wonderful. This is what it looked like, okay? I had this tiny little office about as big as half the size of that sound booth. And people would come in the morning for coffee and donuts. Day-old coffee or day-old donuts, you know. And a guy would come in my office and he'd have a gas can. Empty, and he'd say, can you give me $5 for gas? I'd say, sure, that's easy. Here's $5. Oh, can you take me up to the gas station to get the gas? Oh, yeah, I can help you do that. So I, you know, leave what I was doing. I had volunteers in the car. Get in the car, get the gas. Can you take me over to my car? It's over here on, you know, West 45th. Oh, yeah, I can take you over there. Okay, so I take him over there. Okay, he puts the gas in the car. Can you take me to the VMV to get the tags? And give me the money for the tags? See, the author and finisher. Jesus showed me how to start something and how to finish something. He showed me how to go the extra mile when it was out of my way, out of my comfort zone, and it cost me something because he didn't have the money for the tags. So we go over there, we get the tags, and it's already 2-3 in the afternoon. See, it's going to cost you something, folks. But he's there. That's the story. That's the story. He fills in the blanks. He helps you every day with the stuff you need to help with. He helps you. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, hallelujah, yes, I can dance. Yes, I can dance. I'm full. Full of joy. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross so I didn't have to. He endured the cross and the shame. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian in this hour when everybody's coming against it. You know, life after Christianity. There's no life for me after Christianity. What are you doing? And how's that working for you? See, I know it's working for me. It'll always be Jesus for me. Maybe it won't be Jesus for you, but it'll always be Jesus for me. Because he changed my life. He changed my story. July 17th, 1979. Oh my goodness. And he said, for consider him, who? Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Phew. I mean, we're going to look at Jesus all month. And first we're going to look at Jesus on the cross. We're not ashamed. You know, we're not ashamed of what it took Jesus to get our freedom, our joy, our peace, all the things that we need to operate today to be the people of God that we need to be. Yes, do we make mistakes? Sure. Do we look silly? You know, yes, we can. But we still believe. And I thank God we filled this room this morning with people who believe. Who believe. And it says where? Lest you become weary and discouraged. Where? In your souls. That word soul is suke, which means you're psychologically discouraged. And it's a psychological warfare against what you believe. You're being hammered all the time. Is this real? Is that real? Is there really a God? Did Jesus really exist? I mean, I on Facebook is a wonderful media. I love it because you show me all the pictures of your kids and what they're doing and all that. But there's all this other stuff where Jesus was not even a real historical figure. Then what happened to me? What happened to me July 17th, 1979, walking in a church, you know, after a night of being so drunk, you know, and gave my life to Christ and never drank again? What happened to me? I don't know. I can't explain it. They just said, come on down. You know, and I said, okay, I'll come on down. Yeah. All right, they want me to come down. I'll come down. I give up. And that was exactly it. I gave up. I gave up writing my own story, folks. And I went to see the author and the finisher of my faith. However this thing comes out, we finish winners. I'm telling you, you're going to finish a winner. You know, if you never win the lottery, you're going to win. I'm telling you. How many still play the lottery? Take down the names. Nobody will admit it. How many read their horoscope? Oh, my gosh. Author and finish of our faith. See, it's a whole shift of focus, folks. Author and finish of our faith. Oh, we shift to a new reality. I shifted to a whole new reality. A reality I was trying to reach through alcohol and drugs, but he opened up this spiritual reality to me in a moment. He opened this window in a moment of time into where I'm supposed to live and where I'm supposed to be. And I love every minute of it. Consider or ponder and contemplate. Oh, I love contemplation. I love meditation. I can hardly get through a session of meditation without inspiration. Oh, inspiration. It's so incredible to gaze upon the Lord, to sit in a place and just gaze. Whew, it's wonderful. Like I said, you know, smile at God and know he's just smiling back at me. Mm. And you can use creation to do that. Creation was the first Bible. You know, after I did meditation at home this morning, I went to the park and I looked at the waterfalls and I looked at the stairways and I looked at everything. To me just cried out of God and his goodness and his love. Oh, it's all about focus. What are you focused on? I mean, I could have stayed home and watched CNN all day or Fox, you know. I've done it. How many have done it? How many have had it on all day? Oh, it just drones on and on and on and on. Breaking news. Breaking bad news. More breaking bad news. Here's the breaking good news, folks. But you had to step out of your comfort zone and come hear it. You had to come hear it and be surrounded, oh, by a great cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. Oh, this great cloud of witnesses that God has put us together with. Oh, wow. So it's a mind, it's in our minds that we're looking at, and we're getting this mixed message about Christianity, about people, you know, about the sign of the times. We're getting all these mixed messages. And I want to show you as we end in the book of Revelation. I want to go to the book of Revelation. You know, it's called the Apocrypha. And when people think of the Apocrypha, they think of disaster. You know what I mean? Calamity, destruction of the world, the end of the world as we know it. You know, I mean, that's what they think about. And that's not what Apocrypha means. Apocrypha means revealing. That's all it means. It's a revelation. It's a revealing. Go over there in Revelation. Go over there. And I don't think I have this, but in chapter 1, verse 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's a focusing on our leader, on our God, our Savior. It's a focus which God gave to show his servants. So it's a revealing of Jesus Christ, a greater revelation of Christ that we have already, because God is so multifaceted that he is constantly revealing himself. If you're looking in the right direction and your mind is in the right space, you know, if you're in that, if you're not discouraged in your mind or your psyche. And there's a lot of people in this hour who are discouraged in their mind. And they need to get their head right. You know, they really need to get their head right. And in verse 8, it says, I am Alpha and Omega. Simple as that. I'm beginning and the end and all that's in between. Chapter 1 through whenever, you know, Revelations. I'm on every page. I'm in every heart. I am all in all. I'm all there is. I'm all you need. Here it is. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Oh, this is the truth made visible. What's the truth today? It's hard to discern the truth, but there's a truth that's made visible in the spiritual realm. And it just alters your reality. It gets you out of the natural into the spiritual realm. See, you're in the spirit on the Lord's day, I hope, like John. John's facing his own demise, his own death as a martyr, and God wants to get him in the spirit. See, God wants to, I mean, he could be terrified, you know, like I am sometimes when I think of my own death and I think of, you know, how long have I got and, you know, where am I going and all those things that we think about and we're not honest about. Is heaven real? Is God real? You know, is this all there is? You know, all those things that go through our mind, and then he reveals what I call the throne room revelation to us. The throne room revelation. And you can read the whole throne room revelation. Any saint that saw it, their minds were changed. Their hearts were changed. And they accepted their life. They accepted willingly even their deaths. Wow. How many want that revelation? God gave it to us. It's right here. It's right here. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. That's enough to meditate on the rest of your life. I'm the beginning. I'm numero uno. I'm number one. There's nothing in between. I'm the end. I'm also the end. The truth made visible. God's willingness to reveal his son with divine understanding. Wow, I was created for this. I thought I was going to be a honky-tonk Stardust Cowboy my whole life. You know what I mean? I didn't plan on being a preacher. That was the last thing in my mind. Oh, my goodness. But God had another chapter in my story. He wanted me to become what? A father? I had no vision to be a father. I'm only getting choked up because I see two of my children here. I shouldn't point them out. They're the most beautiful women in the room. Oh. Now that I've totally embarrassed them, as all fathers should. Oh my goodness. Oh, who is and who was and who is to come. That's the end of the story, folks. You can read it in Revelation 21. New heaven, new earth, all things new, all things new. You can interpret everything in between any way you want. I give you liberty, okay? If you see, you know, all kinds of doom and gloom and destruction, fine. But I see the beginning and I see the end. And the outcome is glorious. The outcome is glorious. And I need to be with the people who sees the outcome as glorious. Who sees the outcome as good, who sees the outcome as beautiful, wonderful. Oh my goodness, I am here, I am present. That's what he's saying. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am present. And what do we do in worship? We exalt his name together and we become aware of his presence. He never left. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what he said. And I am fully persuaded that that's the truth. Fully persuaded because of an encounter I had with his presence July 17th, 1979. You're not going to persuade me otherwise. I'm not going to try to persuade you. Whatever you're doing, I hope it's working for you. You know, I really do. I want it to work for you. Whatever. You know, when you're at the mission, everybody came in with everything. All kinds of things. And I said to the one guy, after feeding him for many years, I said, why? Why don't you give your life to Jesus? He says, oh, I go to the boss. I go to Mary. And I said, okay, if that works for you, you know, that's fine. You know, I mean, everybody's on a journey, folks. You know what I mean? And they may not be exactly where you're at, or they may never be where you're at, but they're on a journey. And I know for sure that he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. If you go away with anything this morning, know that. There's no shame. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He says, I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation. I am so glad that I have brothers in tribulation, like Doug. You know, Doug and I talk almost every day. You know, he comes home from work, we talk on the phone, how was your day, how you feeling? I have brothers in tribulation. What would be all on my own? No support, no brothers, nobody to share my story with, no one that believes like I do. Oh, the end is near, Dave. The end is near. Oh, you know, all this kind of stuff. No, I have a brother and a companion in this tribulation and in this kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ. We're kingdom folks. We're kingdom folks. That's what we are. We celebrate the kingdom of God and his dear son together. We worship together. It's wonderful. It's incredible. I'm so glad I found this group, or God put me in this group. Oh, we're brothers, and he's on this island called Patmos, and Patmos means isolation. How many been in isolation recently? Separated, in isolation. Oh, you have brothers and sisters who send you cards. You know what I mean? Who send you cards. Don't be embarrassed, girls. You know you send me cards and encourage me. Thank you very much. How wonderful. Gives me books of encouragement, people that I'm surrounded, this cloud of witnesses that surround me and give me love and joy and hope. Oh, they took up my story, you know, for the past 4 years, and they made it their story. And they prayed and encouraged me in what I was going through. Oh, it's been wonderful. This time of tribulation, it's still the kingdom of God. He's on this Isle of Patmos. It's a barren place, and he says, I am present. I am the Alpha and Omega in your tribulation. I am the beginning and the end in your tribulation. In this time of trouble, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I don't care what you feel like. I don't care what your mind is trying to tell you. In your spirit, in my spirit, I know he's there. I know that I know. He's there. Have I doubted? Yes. Yes. Why me, Lord? I've served you. I've been good. Why me? Why me? And then I get a call from Ken. He loves you. He loves you. Encouragement. Prayer. Oh, my goodness. There's nothing like it. This is relevant, folks. This is needed. You're in the right place. You need a community who's going to encourage you and love you and help you through it. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'm not talking about being in the flesh. Do I get in the flesh? Oh, my goodness. Yes, I do. Does fear still try to come upon me? Yes, it does. Oh, my gosh. When I saw, that Michael Stanley died, God rest his soul, and we pray for his family. I mean, I grew up with Michael Stanley, and that. Maybe you guys, young people, don't remember Michael Stanley. But, Doug, remember Michael Stanley? When I heard he died of lung cancer. Whew, scared me. That fear comes upon you, Oh, my goodness. It comes upon you, and what do you have to do? You have to say, I am with you. I'm with you. He shifts your reality. See, people don't want to get well until they're sick. They want to change the reality of sickness to wellness, And that's what you have to do to get healed, is change that reality of sickness to wellness. I'm whole. I'm well. In Jesus' name, I'm made whole. If you're poor, you want to be rich. You want to change that reality, don't you? In Christ Jesus, I am rich. I have this richness, this vast richness of love and grace and peace. Maybe it's not monetary, but I have a richness. I'm fully persuaded. See, this reality, if I'm in fear, I want to be in faith. And I have a company of people who to put me back in faith, who can put me right back in faith when I'm in fear. I can just tell them my story, and they'll encourage me right back in faith. I need that. I need that. I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. And then again, he says, he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet. Woo! You can do this! You can do this! Wow. It's just such a wonderful picture of faith and God's presence and in tribulation and difficult times. It's a revealing of the true reality, not the false reality, not the false news, the real good news. Whew. Aren't you glad there's good news? Aren't you glad you came to hear the good news? I hope it really encouraged you. It says, saying again, he says it again. This must really mean something. It's like with my kids. If I said it once, I said it 100 times. Don't run up and down the steps. But Morris still did it. She's smiling under that mask, I can tell. I heard the dog running up and down the steps the other day. I was laying in bed, and the dog was running up and down the steps. And I thought of Maura immediately. It made me miss her so much. Because how many times did I tell her not to run up and down the steps? But God, when he wants to get us aware of something, he tells it multiple times. He yells it over and over again. I am Alpha and Omega. Don't be afraid. Don't let this scare you. Don't let this rattle you. Oh, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Write what you see. Oh, I write what I see all the time. I write it down in meditation, what I see. When I get in that place in the Spirit, then I begin to write. Oh, and sometimes I have to hold off so I don't break the meditation. So I get in, then I go right in the Spirit. Oh my gosh, it's so incredible. It's wonderful. In verse 17, we're going to end. It says, and when I saw him, I encourage you folks, gaze. Get a divine revelation. It'll change your focus. It'll change your life. You need to focus on this at least once a day. Oh my goodness, you need a discipline of getting into the Spirit intentionally. Oh, and that can be whatever. I'm telling you what, I'm real big on this. It could be fishing if you want it to be, I'm telling you. If you can get in contact with God when you're fishing or walking your dog. My wife walks her dog every day and it's her time with God. It's valid, folks. What you love to do, what do you love to do? Think of what you really love to do, you know, within boundaries. It could be your time of meditation, working in the garden, walking, running, dancing. Oh my goodness, you know how many people get in the Spirit running? Oh, it's valid, folks. I want to validate you and what you're doing to get there. Music, doing your music, sitting down at the piano, whatever it is. Oh, I just want you to get in that place where you see him. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Wow. Whew. How many ever been slain in the Spirit? Oh my goodness. People come over, pray with you. You have an encounter with God. Boom. It's happened to me, you know. Oh, it's incredible. It's supernatural. It's wonderful. But that doesn't happen all the time. Oh my goodness. He laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. When I was putting this together, I was picturing him putting his right hand. Now the right hand, where is Jesus seated? At the right hand of the throne of God. It's a picture of authority. It's a picture of his authority over our lives. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I want to rename your reality. I want to rename your reality. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I am the first and the last. I have the first word and the last word in your life. I want to rename your reality. I want to make its design. I want to make you well. I want to make you whole. Let's all stand together. I read this morning in my devotion. If you came with somebody, I want you to put your right hand on their shoulder. And I read this in my devotional, and then I rewrote it. It says, we are a community of saints. Yes, we are. We're not waiting to be saints. We're saints already, folks. A community with a divine history of hope. People touched with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Called to go forth as companions in faith. Bringing divine compassion, love, joy, and peace into everyday life. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to bring divine compassion, love, joy, and peace into everyday life to bring hope to the great struggles of history? We're in a great struggle, folks. I'm telling you, we're in a struggle like never before. And we need to bring hope. Not more hopelessness, not more anger, not more fear, but we need to bring hope. Hope, wrestling with evil and delighting with joy when justice, peace, and healing gain a foothold. When together with the whole of the natural world, we display the dynamic, sacred community full of holy wisdom that touches every aspect of creation. Whew. Now, somehow, if you want to read that or reread it, we'll get it up on the Oak River page. But I think you need to read something like that every day to inspire you of what your dynamic purpose is. What your intentional purpose is. So with your hand on that shoulder, I want you to say in your heart to that person, be not afraid. Be not afraid. In Jesus' name.